look at this. This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Chalhoun, who pulled that one from? Oh, what a goal! 63 minutes dead, and I smell that one coming.
Rafinha over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant. Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
So Lavezzi now.
I'm going to try to get a contract in China.
It seems to be very easy, actually.
I don't know. Like, we know why they're going, but they're going in droves. Guys going in their prime.
It's crazy what they're offering, though. I mean, you can't make that money anywhere in Europe, I don't think.
No, you can't. This started a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Lippi going over there, Marcello Lippi going. And oh, Drogba, obviously. I think he played on the same team. He played for him.
Anelka, I think, went first.
Anelka.
Or yeah. Around there, too.
You know, like, this. These are guys that are living in their prime. Like, Lavezzi was actually, you know, rumored to be going other places in Europe. Maybe, you know, his move was rumored to go to Inter or something like that. Like, he was, you know, and I don't know. Did strike you as a guy who wants to be a part of, you know, Copa America team, but maybe now teams aren't, you know, national teams aren't discriminated against what league you're playing in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's done. I mean, we saw evidence with that with Giovinco getting called into a, you know, a qualifying round with Italy, whereas before, if you weren't playing in Europe, I mean, there was a time if you weren't playing in Italy, believe it or not, but if you're not playing in Europe, you're not getting the call. So,
well, look at Giovinco. Even he's playing in what's supposed to be a lesser league, and he's getting called in, right?
Yeah, still getting the call. So in qualifying, so maybe it's an archaic way of looking at things. You know, maybe they asked that question too. I wonder if Lavezzi. It's a good question. Maybe we don't have the answer to it. I wonder if these guys ask or they consult their national teams
to see if.
And if they say, you know, hey, listen, if we might make a move, or I'm thinking of making a move here, would you still consider me?
Yeah.
There. And hey, we brought up Giovinco. Maybe Giovinco spoke to the powers that be, you know, in the national team and in Juventus at the time. Hey, if I make this move, are you still going to consider me, right?
Yeah.
Especially guys that young.
Could be.
Then again, maybe a lot of guys don't care because it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's the
so
dough. I think it's more the dough than
the
national team.
I think by default, they might just ask, you know, hey, by the way, am I still going to get a chance to represent my country?
Yeah. Anyways, well, it's something that we can definitely talk about.
Yeah.
As I guess more players will go in the summer, and we'll see what happens. We all know who's there now, so. We'll see what happens in the summer.
Yeah.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. We're your hosts, Joe and Reggie. Jam-packed again, eh?
We got a lot today.
We definitely have a lot today.
I'm trying to squeeze it in.
Let me get all the house cleaning out of the way first. You can reach us at our website, www.footballweekly.com. That's FUTBOLweekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's a number of different podcatchers you can get our podcast on. You can subscribe via email. You can subscribe to our forum as well, where you can put down all your ideas, your views. If you think that players going to China is a good thing, you can let us know there.
Yeah.
You can let us know actually, we're gonna speak about a topic that I would like to hear other people's opinion on later on in the show as well. So, well, anyways, we'll get into it later. But as usual, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. Well, to start off the show for the third week in a row, I think, I'm going to start off with Serie A.
You know, we've set a trend, a tone, building a tradition.
Is that what we're doing? Wow. I know. Honestly, Joe, I just want to get it out of the way. Let's do this.
Okay. Well, on that note, you're really going to like the flat four today.
Oh, my God.
So, Reggie, where do we start? So, we start at the top?
Let's start at the top. Juve lost finally.
No, Reggie, that's not true.
Again? I thought they lost last week and they didn't. And I thought they lost this week and they didn't.
No, no. Okay. This is Juve played Napoli in a top-of-the-table clash.
Oh.
Yep.
I was supposed to watch that game, I think, right?
Just like you were supposed to watch the Milan derby. Mm-hmm. But it's okay.
Okay.
I have a lot of faith. It's unwavering, so we're going to get you to watch. So anyway, Juventus plays Napoli. I think Juventus gets their 15th straight win.
Wow.
And I think Napoli had 8 or 9 coming in. The game was a pretty even affair. I think most rational people, when you're a diehard fan of a club, maybe, as we know, we both are, each of ours, we're not so neutral, I should say. But
right.
I think a tie would have been the correct or the, you know, probably the best result here, like more fair result, I should say.
Well, is that for the neutral fan or is it by the play of both teams?
Yeah, I think it's the neutral fan. I mean, I'm a neutral fan of those two teams.
Right.
And it looked like it was that. Then in the, I think it was the 83rd minute or 84th minute,
right.
Simone Zaza, mm-hmm. formerly of your team.
Sassuolo.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's been linked with a move to the Premier League all year.
Wow.
Just more playing time, you know, but
right.
he ends up staying, and Allegri, you know, professed his confidence in him, and his time will come, and it came in mm-hmm. the form of a late winner in the 84th minute or 80 something minute. And it looks like it took a deflection. It was a shot from outside the box
mm-hmm.
and it kind of handcuffed Pepe Reina, and that was it. Interesting in this game, I think Napoli did play well. I mean, I think it's only a 1 point lead or 2 point lead now, but Napoli played well. They looked to have played safe, and this is not the Napoli that we've seen all year. They didn't play poorly by any stretch, but I don't think they expressed themselves as the true Napoli that they've been showing all year.
Right.
Interesting here, Lorenzo Insigne gets subbed off late in the game with some time, you know, and I thought that was a strange move. I don't know if he had a small injury or maybe just a coaching decision, but I thought, you know, I would have liked to have seen him in the game. But yeah, you had Simone Zaza getting the winner, and the Juventus machine, as we predicted, we said,
keeps rolling.
We said at the beginning of the year where they didn't start off very well. They were in a slump. But I think we said, you know, I think the cream will rise to the top, and they did, and they have. It's not over, but you met this with 15 straight wins.
So what did our, third favorite team in Serie A, Fiorentina, do this week?
They kept rolling, Reg.
Yeah?
They beat Inter, a deserved win. Late goal, but they deserved. They're just due a lot earlier here. So they got a goal that was kind of bundled in, but, I mean, Inter was in 10 by the end of the game. Interesting to note, Inter in 10 was playing better than they did full team. And they didn't. They really look like a team going south. I hate to say it, but it seems like it's Mancini being Mancini.
Oh, wow.
They don't look fluid. They're lacking creativity. You know, they don't look like they're not cohesive. Jeffrey Kondogbia gets sent off in the end of the game.
Really? For a tackle?
For saying something to the referee.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and then Inter, they didn't, again, Mancini being Mancini, had a moratorium. They didn't speak to the media.
Oh, no.
At all. Not in the press conference. No one.
That's a fine, no?
It should be. Remember, it's Serie A. So, yeah, so they let, but the good, let's talk about the good in that. Fiorentina was, once again, lights out, being Fiorentina-like. You know, great ball movement, positive play, getting people forward, and so on. For me, one of the stories of the pretty exciting, I know we kid around, but it's a pretty exciting Serie A table. There was that. And then, of course, are they for real? Looks like they might be. Are they starting to find some form? I'll tell you who's in form. That's Carlos Bacca.
Oh, really?
Scoring again.
So your AC's back.
I think that they have something here, Reg. They might. You know, listen, we're not losing sight of this. They got something. They have a little bit more momentum. It looks like maybe they can be entrenched themselves in a Europa League spot. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a team that's yearning to play European football.
Right.
So, you know, there they are again.
Ibaka scored again, eh?
I believe he did. I want to say he did. He did. I did watch the game.
Where's Milan in the table now?
I think they're sixth, Reg, but they're climbing.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're only a couple of points.
So Inter has to be in a free fall then, no?
That's what's happening. So now they're 2 points behind Inter as AC Milan. So they're in sixth, but only 6 points out of third.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's quite the tight race. Yeah, it's Juve at 57, Napoli at 56. And then Fiorentina, there's Fiorentina mm-hmm. in third place.
Champions
League
spot.
In a Champions League qualifying spot with 49 points. This team, we've been talking about them all year from day one in the league. When they did beat AC Milan on day one, I felt like, oh, is that an upset? Not an upset at all, if you look at it now.
Right.
They're playing positive and great soccer, so good on them.
Well, we always take a look at the leagues, and we always seem to find that one team that's always doing well second half of the season. Mm. And the same holds true in the Serie A, right?
Yes, Reggie, good point. Well, I guess, is this the I told you so part?
Our whole show is I told you so. It should be, right? We should rename it I told you so.
We did say it. We said that, you know, look out, Roberto Donadoni, he took over Bologna, and they were in dire straits, mm-hmm. struggling. We had a few key acquisitions, you know, Emmanuel Giaccherini, he played with Sunderland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
did.
And Mattia Destro, another former Milan player, scoring goals, and they're safe. They're very safe. I think the stat is, or I was reading somewhere saying that if the season started after week 14 or something like that, whenever Donadoni took over,
mm-hmm.
they would actually be in a Champions League spot.
Wow!
So you know, we had a conversation about this on podcasts in past, and we said, you know, does the manager make a difference and so on? I mean, you know, like it can and it will, and it has. So I think he's bringing himself to the fore. And like I said, maybe we're going to have another moment where we replay this and we say it again. I think he's going to make a move to a big club, probably in Italy, maybe England. If it's England, maybe not a bigger club.
Right.
There's more on the horizon for this coach. I've always believed in him as a good coach, as a good manager, and I think the best is yet to come from him.
Well, maybe he takes over Inter once Mancini gets fired.
It looks like it's going to happen. on that note, I guess the Serie A roundup in terms of manager stuff, just reading today that possibly Antonio Conte, who's currently managing the national team of Italy,
mm-hmm.
might be in talks, maybe. I know it's rumored, but we like that, right?
With who?
With Chelsea Football Club.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a rumor for sure, but I don't see, we were talking off air, Reg, I don't see Conte taking them into, this is the national team of Italy, I don't see him taking them through to World Cup qualifying. I think it's Euro 2016.
And that's it.
I do believe so. Coaching these national teams takes a lot out of you, especially in these, you know, soccer crazy nations. And I don't think people realize how much is expected.
Well, people see the national team coaches like you don't play every year. You maybe play four or five games a year.
Right.
When it comes to Euro, you get your team ready. And if you do go to the finals, it's what, six games, seven games in total? So people are thinking, what are these guys doing the rest of the season? Well, they're going to pretty much every game being played.
Yeah, and I think that's it's a good point. And you might say, people say, well, you know, they don't get together too much. That's the problem.
That's it.
They're trying to create a group. And, you know, you're right. Having to travel to watch them play live and, get, you know, now players are all over the world.
Yeah, that's
it. You know, if you were coaching the national team of Italy when the Serie A was a top league, you know, or the top league, dare I say, you know, years ago, you didn't have to. You were just traveling around the country.
Yeah, all the players were in Italy.
they were there, yeah. right? And not just the Italian players, but
right.
so this is something that's it's part of the grind, if you will, of coaching a national team. But so let's look out for that. But that's essentially it. Carlos Bacca did score, by the way, Reg. So he is continuing his hot streak. And just another note on him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in that game, a former Milan player, Alessio Cerchi, mm-hmm. don't you know, scores in the 90-plus minute,
okay.
makes it 2-1.
I like 90-plus, by the way. But
oh, we'll talk about that later.
Go on.
Oh, for sure. So, Balotelli made his, you know, entrance into the game. They're down 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And after the game, Mihailovic, and they caught it on camera, absolutely, like just after the final whistle, is just like just yelling intensely at Mario Balotelli. And, you know, the reports say that basically he wasn't working, right? And tracking back and making sure that they ensure that to win, you know,
right,
close
right.
off the game.
Right.
So he went as far as to say in the press conference and in the papers to say, you know, I'm done with players not wanting to work and do whatever it takes to win. If this continues, that player, those players will not see the field again.
Uh-oh.
So trouble in Balotelli world again.
Again, eh?
Yeah. So we'll see.
Kind of a pattern, no?
We talked about Mancini and talked about both those guys being so far off the wrong page, but it seemed like they're on the right path of usually getting into some kind of, you know, trouble. But anyway, that's the Serie A, Reg.
Getting tight, eh? I like that.
It's a competitive race right now.
It's kind of opposite to what's happening. Well, we're not going to talk about that. So there's some tight leagues, and then there's others.
Not so tight.
And then there's others.
Yeah.
But we won't get into that. So we're going to move on to what they were calling it Super Sunday in the EPL.
Oof.
Right, we're not going to go through all of the games. We're just going to go through the main games. And the main games were the top four teams in the league were actually playing one another.
Pretty unique.
So we had Man City versus Tottenham, and we had Arsenal versus Leicester. Last year, these two games would have been, okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
This year, it was must-see TV.
Must-see TV, for yes, sure. Sir.
Are we going to talk about Man City Tottenham?
Let's go Man City Tottenham.
Okay.
Man City, do they know the new guy's coming in?
Well,
they know the new boss is coming. Has Pellegrini have the energy to finish this?
Oh, you think they've quit?
It's a tough one. Like, they want Touré talking about leaving and so on. I don't know if their heart's in this. And again, in a year where a lot of the quote unquote big players are not all involved. Really regret this. I mean, that's stating the obvious, but I think this will be a constant pattern with Man City. Everyone says this, though. I read a lot about this, saying, you know, they've done this before. It's a late charge, and by no means are they out of it. But there's key moments where things are revealed, and maybe, you know, the real Man City. Maybe this is who they are.
Yeah,
dare really. I say, is this Tottenham?
They're on a great run right now. I can tell you that, and they look probably one of the hottest teams in the EPL right now.
What a coaching job Leicester. He's doing.
Well,
yeah.
I don't like Tottenham, as you should well know if you listen to this podcast, but I like Pochettino. He's doing a great, he did a great job at Southampton, and he's doing a great job with Tottenham.
And
he's making them a force.
Yep.
And I was thinking about it today. The EPL, for me, is better when United's good, when Tottenham's good, when Liverpool's good, when Chelsea's firing. Those games are what you live for.
I think that no football fan can argue with you there.
Well,
you know,
hope not.
They might, you know, but I think that's a pretty valid point.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Tottenham, Reg, just to add to what you're saying.
Yeah,
they're taking advantage of what we've said Arsenal should be doing.
Oh, exactly, 100%.
Right? Are they not like living into that mold, saying, "Hey, okay, well, just like you said, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea." You know, absent from this conversation in terms of the top.
Right.
So, hey, we don't mind coming in. And just to add to that, too, is he not Pochettino? Like, that's 2 years in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Harry Kane had a monster year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have this new revelation in Dele Alli.
Dele Alli, yeah.
So, you know, as much as you got to be good to be lucky and lucky to be good, right, all that stuff, the chips are falling in there for Pochettino.
He comes from a club where they probably, that club, Southampton, we're talking about, probably has the best
youth system
in England, if not I guess Barcelona might have a better youth system, but one of the best in the world.
I mean, I think you could say that for sure. Look at the names that have come through there. I think that's valid.
Well, yeah. we did a podcast a couple of months back,
yeah.
And we listed off like the top 11 players that played at Southampton. That's right. Crazy.
Yeah.
If they had kept half of them, it would be a different story right now. But anyways, so I think Arsenal plays Tottenham in a couple of weeks. I think it goes Hull this City in the FA Cup. It goes United the week after, and I think it's Tottenham next. It's
crunch time, money time.
Well, that's what it is, right?
You know, Reg, it's just, you know, maybe we talk a lot about Canadian football here, of course,
right?
And American, you know, Dele Alli, these young guys, other players that have, you know, made their mark very early in their career.
Right.
To me, I put out the challenge to other, or to, you know, the Canadian powers that be, or whatever it might be here, give young players a chance. You know, there's no substitute for that young mind, heart, whatever you want to call it, character that just wants to go out and ball and play.
Right.
You know, and good for these managers. Like, is there more pressure than playing in the EPL and you're a manager? I dare say maybe equally somewhere, but not more. So good for these managers giving these young guys a chance.
Well,
you know,
if you're a manager and you see that maybe a young guy can help you keep your job, of course you play him, right?
Right. So
of course. And it's gonna bode well for national teams as well.
For sure.
Now, I'm not saying Pochettino's playing Dele Alli so he can boost England's chances in the Euros or anything like that, but Roy Hodgson, mm-hmm. you know, probably appreciates that the younger generation's getting playing time. Because if you look down the line of young English players coming up, who is there?
Yeah.
It's Bear.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And again,
they're counting on Rooney to come back and lead them.
Yeah. And I think that's, I have an opinion about that for sure. Yeah, you're right. We got to give these guys, and if you're giving them chances in big league games or, right. you know, club fixtures,
right.
they're going to be more prepared.
Not just the FA Cup and the League Cup.
That's right. And again, you know, the world of football is these guys are not at 15, at 16, 17 years old, and what they've sacrificed if they've had to leave home, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. They're not the 15 and 16 year old of years past.
Right.
It's just different.
Going on to the big game or what?
Oh, yeah, I thought we were done. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, United versus, no, sorry. Yeah,
so many layers to this, Reg.
Well, I mean, great day.
Well, you were happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was watching the game when it was 1-0
right.
for Leicester.
Yes.
I said, man, is this not typical Arsenal here?
Well, it is, right?
You know, and then, you know, here's what I liked about it. They kept playing.
That's it.
They kept playing.
Well, I think finally Arsenal realized, the players on the field actually realized that, you know what? We have to win.
Gotta win.
This is it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last year would have been, you know what? Okay, let's just not get embarrassed out here. If we get one, we get one. But now I think it's time. They saw that it's time to put the pedal to the metal and let's do this.
And especially Leicester goes in 10. And I thought
exactly, yeah.
everything that Leicester didn't do this year, like what they haven't done, mm-hmm. which is, you know, succumb to pressure,
right.
make foolish decisions,
right.
and give up late goals. Well, they checked all those boxes.
Right.
I mean, poor red card. It's a bad red card, meaning bad decision by the Leicester player.
Oh, it's two yellows. It's crazy.
You know, and he didn't need to do the last action there. So it's not, oh, bad yellow referee screw. No, they're valid. They were both valid. Just poor decisions.
Right.
And then you talk about the worst decision you can make. Leicester had not made a substitution. No, they did.
Ramirez came off.
And the defender who replaced him, wow, why isn't it escape me now?
Oh, the guy who gave away the foul.
Yeah.
Oh, the free kick, I mean.
Oh, jeez.
It starts with an M. I can't remember what it is.
Big guy, 23.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to yell and throw stuff now. That's fine. Go ahead.
Nobody out there knows him either. Don't worry about it.
You know, hey, thank you. I just know he's 23, big guy. So, I mean, jumps out at, was it Monreal?
Monreal, yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
You know, and you give up. Wasn't the stage set here? So, yeah, Danny Welbeck makes his return.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, is there anybody serving up more assists and great service than Mesut Ozil right now?
Not this year.
And you know, he rises, so delivers a great ball in the box, and then Danny Welbeck, who, you know, we keep forgetting, and maybe, here we go, my weekly teeter-totter of, now I support you, Arsene, now I don't like you. Well, maybe the transfer they made, the acquisition, was Danny Welbeck. Giroud's playing out of his mind, And dare I say, on the tying goal, do people
great, the
what presence of mind, right? You're going to say the same thing.
Go, you finish, you finish. Well,
okay, so he's falling back. Mm-hmm. Ball gets whipped in, mm-hmm. right? And Giroud is falling back. Most guys are going to try to do something to head it, you know, down and, or sorry, to goal.
On that, yeah.
Does he not have the presence of mind to knock it back into the path of Theo Walcott,
mm-hmm.
who, cool as you like, finishes that?
So it, eh?
I think Arsenal takes, we've been very hard on them. They deserve a lot of credit for this. Combination of two things. Good for Arsenal to keep playing. I thought Giroud, unsung hero for me again. There's Olivier Giroud.
He was man of the match right? for me. But
Ozil's the obvious, but Giroud was fantastic. And then poor decisions, and I thought they showed their inexperience in a big situation.
Leicester you're talking about.
Leicester, yeah, with those decisions. And again, a guy who's easily the manager of the year. In the EPL, great reaction from Ranieri.
Yeah,
you know, saying, you know, we made those few mistakes. It cost us. Yeah. We're still ahead in the league. We got to move on. Yeah. I mean, what else do you say there, right?
Exactly.
I mean, he knows it, you know. And
I'm glad you brought up Giroud because, and we talked about the knockdown, but he took all the pace off that ball.
Everything, absolutely.
The ball hit his head, and it's like it just went 2 feet and stopped.
He deadened it
right for Theo Walcott.
It was fantastic. I don't think.
Thank God he didn't put it over the net. Yeah. Slot it in, right?
Oh, he listen. He still had a lot to do.
He did.
But what if that was great presence of mind?
He did.
And you're right. He took everything off.
Took
of Giroud
everything
with
that off. Of
it. Yeah, I bet that was world class. And dare I say it now? Maybe this is one of those moments again. You know, watch what Giroud might do for France in Euro because he's playing at a high clip right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he's taken maybe deserved beating over the last couple of years. But, you know, not many people have scored more goals than him in the last calendar year and so on in the EPL. And that was a fantastic performance. And to you know, we talked about character wins and Arsenal having to show some grit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was all that for me. Anyway.
Well, I liken Giroud on France to Sturridge on Liverpool last season or two seasons ago when Suarez was there. Everyone's watching Suarez.
That's right.
No one's paying attention to Sturridge. He slots in, what, 26 goals that season?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you brought him up because that guy's a good footballer. I know the injury stuff.
Yeah.
And he's got other stuff. But when he wants to play, man,
he's fantastic.
I think it was Gary Lineker. He actually tweeted that out.
Left foot is crazy.
Yeah, and he said, he goes, you know, he might not be there all the time. But, you know, he is a good footballer. So, but the Arsenal thing, hey, now they're in it with more than a fight. Are they 2 points out, Reg?
They are 2 points out of first. They're tied. They're tied with Tottenham on
points.
But it's goal differential, and it's a massive.
Is it eight goals?
It's nine goals.
Yeah,
nine goals. So I mean, and like I said, I think we play them in 3 weeks. So that's going to be another big.
Yeah,
Super Sunday again, I think. So,
and they're only big from now on, right? So,
well, they have to be, right? I think United's well off the pace now, so I don't think we have to worry about them. They're 10 points behind. City has to worry about them more than Arsenal, I believe. But
United needs to worry for sure because they dropped something today too. But anyway,
we're not gonna we'll leave United for a different day.
Yeah, dare I say maybe the next time we talk about United, Reggie, sorry to drop, maybe it's without Louis van Gaal.
I think it has to be. I think by the time you wake up tomorrow morning, Friday, I think he's done. Honestly,
I know.
I believe it.
Something's gonna happen here, right?
You can't lose games like that.
Yeah.
Was that away or home today?
It's a good question. Well, we're alluding to the fact that
home today,
Manchester United lost in Europa League, and I feel bad. I can't pronounce the name.
It's a team from Sweden. Good for them. Actually, I was actually watching. Roy Keane versus Patrick Vieira special. They had them meet and talk to each other and explain their rivalry. It was pretty cool, actually. I was watching that today, getting ready for the show. But
talk about must-see TV.
Well, yeah, you should see some of the clips. These guys are fighting in the tunnel. This is back when the EPL was the EPL.
That was a pure hate. That was a real hate.
When you had real rivals, when you hated everybody on Man United.
Yeah,
you hated people on Tottenham. You don't know them, but you hate them because of who they play for.
That now was it's, hate.
Now it's too nicey-nicey. Everyone's trying to help everybody up. And anyways.
Reggie, you know, this story, just to add to what we said with Manchester United losing today, it's been that kind of year. Memphis Depay actually scores a goal, and they still lose. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Memphis Depay, eh? He's playing?
Yeah, apparently he did. Apparently he did, yeah. So
I hate talking about this league. Well, actually, you want to give the table for Bundesliga? Do we care?
Surprise, surprise. I think Bayern Munich is in first.
That's all we need to know, right?
Yeah, eight points clear of Borussia.
We don't have to go through that, do we?
Bayern.
Okay. So I don't like talking about this league, but I think we have to.
We got some talking to do.
Because it was all over Twitter.
Yep.
And I saw it when I didn't see it live, and I was reading on Twitter, and I was like, I'm one of those guys, I read something, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, and I'll keep scrolling, and everyone's talking about, okay, let me see what the hell happened. Half the people, it's great, half the people, disgusted.
Let's let them know, Reg.
Lionel Messi gets a penalty shot. Well, I don't know who won the penalty shot, but is stepping up to take the penalty shot.
Yeah.
As a goalie, as a player, whoever, and everyone in the stands, you're expecting him to shoot the ball. No. Runs up to the ball, slots it to his right, Suarez runs in, slots it in. For me, Joe?
Yeah, it's I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
It's Bush League
to me. It is a bit. Listen, everybody who listens to us knows how much I love Lionel Messi. Mm. But, you know, I got to call this one even. That is. It's a disrespectful thing. I think, you know, first of all, the score was...
It's 4-1 at the time.
4-1. Listen, if Cristiano Ronaldo does this...
Oh, yeah, forget it.
He's like, just absolutely crucified in here.
Forget it. Arrogant.
That's right.
You know, no class. You know, so, oh, yeah.
I don't think that we can lose sight of the fact that I think this person's getting more leeway and more rope because it's Lionel Messi,
right,
who does have a great track record. But in this case... That's disrespectful to me.
Oh, 100% it is.
You know, and it was all so amazing. And all this. It's because it's Lionel Messi. That's why you heard this stuff. And again, if it's Cristiano Ronaldo, dare I say this is, first of all, I think it'd probably make more headlines.
Oh, for sure.
But more the other way of it being totally disrespectful, unsportsmanlike thing to do. So you need to do that. And then we're saying, Reg, well, it was supposed to be for Neymar. Would it matter?
I know. Like, it matters that it was for that Suarez scored.
Like, it doesn't matter, right? So, now, Reggie.
Yes?
Question has to come. This has precedent.
Okay.
This has happened before.
Yes.
We'll start way back before we get to my question for you.
Okay.
With Johan Cruyff doing this.
Right.
But in most recent memory, it happened with Arsenal players.
Pires and Henry, yeah.
Yeah, Pires and Henry.
Right.
So, again, the devil's advocate here is got to say, okay, Reg, this is, we know where you stand with this. How do you feel about that one?
Well, it's great if you're an Arsenal player, but no. It's Bush League then. It's Bush League now.
Yeah, yeah.
I play basketball with a person on Monday nights. I play basketball with someone, and we were talking about Twitter. And what he said, you can pretty much take it on in your own personal life, too.
Okay.
He says, if you wouldn't say it to someone's face, don't type it, okay? So I'm comparing that to Messi's goal. If you wouldn't do it when it's 0-0, don't do it when it's 4-1. Because you see guys when they're up, and you play in the Monday night league that we play in, and when guys score goals and everyone when someone gets megged, what I mean? And it's like that type of thing gets the other team going.
Yeah.
And that's when you're gonna see people's legs going into the third
row. That's right, yeah. Because it's not a respectful thing to
exactly.
do, right?
Especially when you're up 4-0, 5-0, everyone's acting out like that.
And from the beer league to the pro league. So exactly. It doesn't matter. Now here's another question. Maybe other people asked it, Reg, I'm not sure.
Mm.
What advantage is given if you do that? Like, right? Because once you play the ball, it's live.
Yes.
So does that give you an advantage? I think isn't it harder to score that way?
Well, no one's expecting it, right?
I was going to say, it's the element of surprise.
Yeah, because most guys don't even run in.
Yeah,
so Messi's taking a penalty shot.
Right.
I'm walking the center.
Yeah, so maybe that's the thing, okay, because I was going to say, if a goalie is now, dare I say, maybe because it's Messi who did it, maybe for the next little while, are people going to be on alert? Like, you know, just like, let's say when Pirlo did his little chip shot, you know, and I remember Totti doing it before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on the PKs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, maybe now people are more alert, you know, more aware of it. So they'll be alerted of it.
Right.
So I was thinking of that. I said, how much of it's not really an advantage, but I guess what you're saying too is obviously the element of surprise is what makes it.
Right.
But again, I'm with you. And people always ask us to disagree. I think I can here. I think if it was Ronaldo, I'll say it again.
Done.
The whole allure, part of the allure of Messi is not only is a great player, but he's always doing, quote-unquote, the right thing.
Right. Well, you can do that in those type of leagues, right? You can't do that in the EPL.
The game was done, right? And I think that's happening more and more. Listen, no one can deny that. I know we have people say, oh, how can you don't like the Liga? Listen, we're talking about purely on competition.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers don't lie.
No, they don't. I still have people, I have people today arguing with me about La Liga still. And I'm like, the scoreboards, yeah. The league table.
It doesn't lie.
Guys have 40 goals each. Like, come on, stop.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? Guys are laying off penalty shots, and when it's 5-1, come on, man. You can't do that in certain leagues.
No.
You can do it in some, not many.
Yeah,
there's
like
a couple.
This, you know, like we just.
I think Lovetsi's playing in one of them.
Like, it's, we know who's going to win, right? Like, it's one of the two or the three. So,
right.
You know, and we started the show with, I know we kid around, but we started the show with, like, Serie A is ultra competitive this year.
Right.
The EPL, we know it every year. Like, it's going to be, you know, ultra competitive. So, I don't know, but this one didn't sit well with me. So,
no, not at all. Not at all. And no repercussion, obviously. I mean, it's legal. We can do whatever you want. But in the eyes of the footballing world, it should be frowned upon, definitely. Yeah. And people are taking a beating on Twitter when they disagree with that. But you can read that on Twitter for yourselves.
Yeah, and it's the Messi thing. Again, Ronaldo gets killed for this. So.
Right. Anyway. Exactly. What are we going to do next, Joel?
Tired.
We're going to do, I think we're going to do flat four.
Sure.
Want to do a flat four?
Done.
Okay. Guys, stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Stavchevinko is in the clear again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, how about that?
Just stop it.
The Italian is absolutely sensational.
So in the second half of the show, we're going to start off with the Champions League.
It's back.
It's back, indeed. Back with a bang. And we were talking a little bit off air about next week's games, and it's like...
Yeah.
The Tuesday is crazy.
It's nuts. I mean...
And then the Wednesday is like, who cares?
With all due respect. I mean, on Tuesday we have Arsenal and Barcelona.
Right.
Not a pretty big deal.
Not bad.
Wow. And then Juventus, Bayern on... That's just crazy.
Yeah, those are two
big games.
Both
games could be considered finals, you know?
Right.
Or even a final four with those four teams.
Exactly.
And then on the next day, we got other teams. But...
City's playing somebody, isn't there? Aren't they?
Kiev? Dynamo Kiev.
And I don't even know who the other teams are.
What do we got? Wolfsburg? Oh, not even.
No,
what
no,
am
no,
I saying?
No, Wolfsburg.
Sorry, they play PSV and Atletico Madrid.
Yeah,
I mean, okay, not a bad game, but man, those two. Those two on the Tuesday.
Like, you could have split those two up.
They could have split those up.
So at least get some ratings, please.
Big games. But anyway.
But before we get into next week's games, let's recap what happened
this week.
This past week. Biggest game of the draw, I guess, for this week.
Had to be in Paris, right?
Had to be. PSG versus Chelsea.
Yeah.
I watched this game, and PSG just looked on a different level from Chelsea.
Yeah.
It was... They were playing, the midfield was just dominant. And even Zlatan against Cahill and I think it was Cahill and I can't even remember who. What's his face? The guy that usually plays on the wing. Ivanovic.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes,
played in the middle with Cahill.
Cahill, yeah.
Zlatan was head and shoulders above anything that they could have done.
You know, in saying that, Reg, though, again, 2-1, and they still have a chance.
They are 2-1. The game was in Paris,
right,
so Chelsea did get their goal. But and actually, their goal was pretty good. Mikel scored it. Diego Costa flicks it on to him. One touch to control and one touch to hit. It was all inside the 6-yard box, but it was pretty bang bang. But
yeah, so they still have a fighting chance. I mean,
they did. They do.
Cavani scored a great goal to win the game.
Cavani did. They were blaming Courtois, saying that he could have stayed on his line a little bit longer.
I tend to agree. I did see the goal.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, like, you know, no offense to Courtois, but.
Yeah, well, you got to come out, no?
Yeah, and I think, you know, is he that much? I mean, Peter Cech, he gave away.
Wow.
And he's doing fantastic. So, but okay, I mean, we won't get into that, but I mean, you know, so, yes, for all the fanfare and, you know, the level of play, quality of play, let's call it, Chelsea's still in this with more than a fighting chance. Going back home with an away goal. I mean, don't you really want that anyway? You want to get an away goal and have a chance at home?
Yep.
They absolutely have more than a chance at home. So
I just feel that if both their midfields play the same way that they played, it's going to be it's going to be bad. It's going to be
but,
bad.
But you know, stranger things have happened, especially at Stamford Bridge for with Chelsea in the Champions League. So we'll see.
Actually, you know what? And I was thinking of this when I was watching the game. David Luiz didn't play that bad.
Wow.
I know. Joe, I know. It's crazy. Jeez. Even for me to say it, it's crazy.
Strange things are happening.
He didn't play that bad. Diego Costa wasn't really running around. You know, he's wearing a mask, right? So I think that's affecting a little bit of his vision or his play.
Yeah.
But Silva and Luiz handled him pretty well. So anyways. Second game of that day.
Jeez.
Benfica versus Zenit.
I'll get a winner in Benfica with a 1-0 win.
Yeah, it's true.
In injury time.
Right. That's at home as well. So Zenit brings them back to the cold of Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
For the next leg on turf, I'm assuming, too. So
yeah.
The Portuguese are going to be in tough for that game.
For sure.
For sure.
And again, you know, you have the Russian club, you know, playing. They're on their winter break. So I think they were training in Spain or Portugal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the last 5-6 weeks or so. So
it's the Russian winter break now.
Yeah, it is, because I mean Russian winter is a little bit harsh. Yeah, but yeah. So again, that tie is up for grabs as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and probably the best game on Wednesday anyway.
Yeah,
actually two pretty good games on Wednesday, but the Wolfsburg Ghent game.
Wow,
where you thought this was going to be
right
5-0 for Wolfsburg, ho hum. Let's get out of here with our win. And they got put to the sword a little bit.
A Champions League. Here it is, rearing its head again.
That's it.
3-2 Wolfsburg.
Yep. They were up 3-0.
They were up 3-0.
3-0. They were up.
And then we get, you know, this is a different Koulibaly.
Yes.
Yep. And it scores in the 89th minute for Ghent. So, again, game on.
Well, the only thing that was at home for Ghent.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the only thing. Yeah. 3 goals to overcome is.
Well, you know, good for them to.
To claw back a little bit. You wouldn't think this from a Belgian a Belgian team.
Just tells you how tough this competition is to win.
That's what it is.
You know?
That's what it is. And the final game for the Wednesday.
You know,
Roma versus Real Madrid.
Yeah, I played in Rome.
At
the Estadio Olimpico. And you had, you know, Real Madrid winning 2-0. But this was not a 2-0 game.
Didn't seem so. I didn't get a chance to see it, but people were telling me.
I watched the first half.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was maybe Real had one or two chances. I mean, but again, you know, you can't hold a team down long for that long. I'm sorry, that good for that long. And there's Ronaldo.
Right. What a goal.
Oh, cuts in and.
Full speed, though, Joe.
Yeah, it looks easy with him, right? So I think they only had, Reg, 2-3 shots on net.
Yeah.
And two of them are goals. So.
Yeah.
You know, but I think now going back to the Bernabeu,
I think that's
this is game, set, and match. I mean, you know, full credit to Roma and Spalletti, new coach. They are playing more inspired football, but this I think they're just up against too much here.
Right.
So, you know, I'd be very shocked if they come back and beat Real Madrid. I think, you know, I'd love to see it just because, hey, cheer for the underdog in this case, but I don't think it's happening. I think Real Madrid's going to. Well, you know, roll to victory.
Like you said, stranger things have happened.
That's right. So we shall see.
We shall see.
But, you know, I think we can say.
For next week.
Yeah. Oof.
We have some. You already teased some of the games in the beginning, but we're only going to talk about two.
Amazing.
We have two bangers next week.
I mean, we have Arsenal and Barcelona, which just on a fear. Entertainment value of watching the quality of play these two teams can play at. I cannot wait for this one.
And I'm so happy. It just seems like the schedule has, you know, smiled upon Arsenal.
Because
this week is a FA Cup week.
You gotta empty the bench here.
Oh, if there's a player over 20 on the field, I'd be shocked for Arsenal this weekend. We've won the FA Cup 2 years in a row. I'm sorry. It's a trophy. I get it, but I'm done with. I'm done with the
especially
FA
when you're in the heat of
a Premier League and a Champions.
That's
League.
Right. I mean, you know, you can only battle on so many fronts. So
yes.
I'd like to see Arsene do that here, but you know,
I better see Arteta. I better see Mertesacker.
Well, you saw Mertesacker on the weekend, Reg. Oh, yeah, still, I don't understand it.
Well, things hurt. Gabriel's hurt.
Okay, he's gonna say. Like, I wanted to ask you that. We've been talking about that a lot about the quality of Gabriel. So
right. So hopefully he's back for Barcelona.
Who knows? Maybe that's why they're even taking extra care with him.
Yeah, they sent him back to Brazil to get treatment. So
you know, so
because Mertesacker cannot play that game.
No, I would say go out on a limb and say no.
Right. Okay.
No, I mean the speed of that game might be. I mean, he might get 18 red cards.
Yeah. He cannot play.
We might have another Boateng moment.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, where we break the internet. For so, sure. You know, this is. Did I say it already? I cannot wait for this one.
Me neither.
Salivating for this. I mean, this one's going to be, you know, the champagne game, I call it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, the nicest, you know, dare I say. And then we got another good one, too.
Juve versus Bayern. And I think Juve has a shot, eh?
Listen,
I think so.
I think Arsenal has a shot too. A lot of people are giving Arsenal no chance.
The thing about this is that both Juve and Arsenal are playing at home in the first night.
You know, I think these are four quality sides. I do see this Juventus team 15 wins in a row. You got a Guardiola coach squad that, again, we talked about this before with Pellegrini being gone, and you know he's still coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, Pep's made it clear; he's made it official. He's leaving.
Right.
So, I don't know. You're coming across a Juventus team that's never been more united. They've never been more, you know, in form.
In form is, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
In form with 15 straight wins. Yep. You know, and team playing at a great clip and Dybala doing fantastic stuff. Pogba, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
This might be, it's going to be tricky.
I honestly, if we're going to give a prediction, I honestly think Juve wins that.
I kind of have this feeling too. I don't know why. You know, but I do know why we picked them. They're a strong team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're clicking right now.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for continuity, and I think they have it. So,
right.
You know, next week, hopefully we're talking after we've had two great games. I know Reggie and our lovable, and I don't mean lovable. I mean, like, our fans, the Arsenal fans who've been so great and supportive of us,
right.
Our podcast, you know, obviously you guys want the result. I think you guys would do without the champagne football and get a result, you'd be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. If you have to slug it out and get a 2-0 win.
Do what you have to do, right?
Do what you got
to
do. Yeah. I don't care if it's pretty at this point.
So I think there's going to be, Reggie, a lot of people, especially in our part of the world, where the games are on at that time, they might be ducking out early from wherever they're at to get to watch those two brilliant games.
Listen, you have to pull the World Cup illness out.
Yeah,
you've got to get it into the minds of your boss on Monday at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a legit condition, is it not?
Of course it is.
World Cupitis.
The cough, the sneezing, oh my god, I think I'm gonna throw up, and then the next day, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I think I caught something yesterday. That's I can't
right.
come.
Yeah.
He was feeling a kind of down yesterday, so maybe he is. Yeah, right.
You gotta be safe. You gotta take care of yourself. Take care of people. You gotta think of people, Reggie.
Not saying that I do that, but
yeah. Hey, listen.
You know,
you got. You're welcome. I'm just trying to help people. So
for sure,
Tuesday will be exciting.
Yeah, I can't actually. Just like you, I can't wait for Tuesday.
No, for sure.
Cannot wait for Tuesday.
Wow. Did we jam that all in, Reg?
We sure did. So, you know what, Joe? I think we're gonna do the flat four now.
Listen, this is Reggie's favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, it's my favorite part of the show. But listen, I got a feeling about this one. Reggie might do okay. We'll see.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. But we'll do that right after this.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely brilliant.
And now, Reggie's favorite part of the show, go time, the flat four.
It's four, it's four, four, it's four. Oh, brilliant!
My favorite part of the show, indeed.
There you go. Reggie,
yes.
You have been, you know, scratching the surface here. You've been getting closer. You know what I mean?
What do you mean, closer?
Last week, you should have had a 75%. Like, you're getting there.
100%.
I think today might be that day.
You think I get it today?
I think today you walk away with
100%.
I think we got a shot.
Okay.
So do we start right away? So are you ready, Reg?
Yeah.
Okay. So this player.
Okay.
This is very heavily Serie A today.
Why?
Yeah, we did so well last week, so we're going to continue that. That groove.
Oh,
this
God.
Player was known as Il Codino. Easy.
Il Codino?
Well, I thought maybe I miss. Maybe I expected too much from you, Rich.
Oh, I think so. What era?
You know, 90s, early 2000s.
What team?
Many.
Many?
Many.
Since it's his birthday today, I'll say Baggio.
You, Reggie, you.
Oh, did I get it right?
You got it. So
that's why you pay all that money for a superstar.
Wow.
Reggie.
Wow.
Wow. It is Roberto Baggio's birthday today. That's fantastic.
What's his nickname?
Il Codino.
Il Codino. What does that mean?
Is it the ponytail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at that.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Buddy, Twitter's my friend, man.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So, listen, continuing on the birthday boys theme.
Okay.
Roberto Baggio's birthday today.
Yes.
Can you name three teams that Baggio played on?
Bologna, Juventus, AC Milan.
Fantastic. Reggie.
It's so simple.
Reg, this is it. I think you've made the hump. This could be it. So, yes, Reggie mentioned Bologna.
That's where he started, no? Is that where he started?
Fiorentina.
Yeah, okay.
Played for Fiorentina, too. Played for AC Milan. You said that.
Yep.
He played at Juventus. He played at Inter Milan.
Now, if I said the Italian national team, would that count?
No.
No, man?
No, but that's hey, you're doing great. Okay. So here we go.
All right.
We know that the leading scorer in Serie A is Gonzalo Higuain.
Yes.
Can you name one of the two, or both, joint number two scorer in Serie A? And with how many goals?
Oh, you need the goals too?
You know what? Just give me the guy.
One or both?
You got to give me one of them.
One? Dybala.
Fantastic. Reggie.
Oh, my goodness.
Pablo Dybala.
World class.
Dybala of Juventus, formerly of Palermo last year, Argentinian international. Tied, I believe, with 14 goals with Carlos Bacca.
Carlos Bacca.
As the second leading scorer in the Serie A. Reggie is at 75%.
Wow, guys, this could be
monumentous, historical.
For sure.
I feel like Don King. I want to say all these, you know, crazy words. Dare I say, for the flat four perfect score.
Let's do this.
This player
is
making waves in Fiorentina.
Okay.
Bernardeschi, we mentioned him a lot.
Okay.
Young Italian player. What number is he mentioning? This is easy.
But why is this easy? 10.
Yeah, because if he's a good player, he's going to be...
10.
Yeah, exactly. You win, Reg.
You're just lost for words. He is just brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening... Reggie.
It's just amazing. He's a one-man show at times.
Oh, my goodness.
He's having so much fun with this. Four for four. Perfect.
Wow.
Perfect. Amazing. And you know what? I'm gonna pat myself on the shoulder for this one, too.
Why is that?
I led you there. Oh, I helped you get here through all these flat fours, all this education that we do at the Serie A. You know what? For everyone listening, you're welcome.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go, Reg.
I went four for four and a flat four.
Four for four and a flat four.
That's truly unbelievable,
man.
Gotta
buy a lotto ticket.
Truly unbelievable.
Congratulations, Reg.
World-class defending.
That was fun. Hey, listen, and your sound effects are pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's not bad, eh?
Yeah, they're very, very good. Yeah, I like it.
I feel pretty good. Joe, take over, man. I'm
this
done.
This is amazing.
I'm
this
done.
This is like monumentous.
I'm done.
Never been done before, Reg. It was coming, though.
Oh,
the 75%.
And to do it against Serie A is just...
Now what? Don't you feel like, you know, you reach the pinnacle
else,
and it's like, what do you do now?
I'll be like Messi and I'll stay in the same league and
are you
not,
gonna
not worry about it.
or are you going to say, you know what, give me five. Anyway, five questions.
Yeah, give me five. You have a fifth one for me there?
But I'm going to need some tough ones next week.
Okay.
So there you go, Reg. Congratulations.
And as we mentioned, it is Roberto Baggio's birthday today, Thursday, February, what's today, the
18th? 18th today.
Yeah, so.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Il
Codino.
Close enough. Perfect. Got
Codino.
It. Done.
Gave
you the bonus one, too.
There you go. So, I guess to end off the last half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about TFC. Want to do that?
Sure.
Now, they're in Florida right now doing training camp. Oh, we got to do goal of the week, actually.
Whoa, my God. It's like from a video game, you mean?
This year, actually, you know what? We'll do it after we talk about TFC.
Okay.
Because it's short because it's not in English, but I can't play the audio because it's in Malaysian or whatever. But you have to see this goal.
You have to see this
goal. If you think Roberto Carlos' free kick was anything curvy.
This is Roberto Carlos 2.0.
It look like Joe said.
4.0.
Joe called me earlier and he was like, "Did you see that goal?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "It's fake, isn't it?"
I had to be like, "Doctor, like,
yeah,
right?"
Yeah, it might be. But I looked at it again, and you can actually see the flight of the whole ball going in the net. And it was just like I still don't understand how he scored.
That was video game-ish.
Too much so. But. Getting back to TFC. TFC is training in Florida right now, getting ready for the upcoming season, which starts a couple of weeks, no? Three weeks?
It's got to be, yep. It's got to be done, yeah.
Middle of March, we believe.
Yep.
We're not going to see a home game here in Toronto till about...
July?
July or May or
probably
June.
Probably May, yeah.
Because we're actually... The weather here is not cooperating with us. It was earlier, but this past couple of weeks, it's not. And yeah. Also that team that's only made the playoffs one time in its nine-year career... is actually expanding their stadium, so we still gotta wait for the roof to go on top of the stands. And once all that gets done, stadium should look amazing when it's done.
I mean, listen, it better, you know. Actually, it will. I mean, everything they're showing us and so on with their depictions of what it might look like, right. And you know what they're posting of like the construction coming along. It looks right. Like it will be, you know, like especially now soccer specific. Well, sorry,
it's a football stadium.
It is a football stadium for sure. But you know, it would look like a soccer only. But we know that's not going to be the case with the Argos coming in. But yeah,
it's CFL, Canadian football, and the real football. But anyways, they look good. I think they look good from all that I've been reading. And it's hard, like you said earlier, it's hard to see because the clips that we're getting are so.
Yeah, the
grainy,
garbage. Yeah, and then they look very far away. So it's you know, we're trying to get a look at the young kids that have been, you know, being part of this. They have you know Mo Babouli, TFC 2, League One Ontario 2 years ago, by the way. So we've talked about that a lot on the show, giving young players a chance. The player that they've drafted from Maryland, right, young player, showing a lot of promise. Maybe this is, you know, Jordan Hamilton getting a more than fair shake here.
Yeah.
Dare I say. I think they're going to be a bit more patient with Jordan because, you know, he did come out of the academy. He was a Generation Adidas player, I believe. So,
but we were talking earlier, if he doesn't make the first team, where does he go?
Like, is he going to get more games with TFC 2? I know they did that last year with Jay Chapman.
Right.
Those guys, you know, like, you want to get them playing, which is good too. You want them to get regular football. So if they're going to just travel and be on the bench, you know, yes, good experience that way too for a young player. But, you know, they need games. They need minutes. So, I mean, obviously, us here, we are cheering for a Jordan Hamilton. We want him to make, you know, the most of his chance.
Right.
All we're reporting is he came into camp in great shape. He's doing well. So we wished him well. You know, we know the guys that will be there. Obviously, that one little guy they brought in from Italy is not bad.
Who's that?
Tall guy, really tall. So you know, Chivinko will be there. You got to figure Hercules Gomez makes a team. So you know,
I mean, they have a lot of attacking options. They have a lot of options. Period on the team now,
for sure.
And it seems that they've gotten rid of some of the dead weight that we would complain about last season.
Yeah, and we've already talked about the defenders that they brought in.
Right, exactly.
But it seems like it's a good group.
Right.
So, hey, listen, you know, hopefully the future's bright for them. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see, as we always say. But I think with TFC, you know, all the reports are good in their preseason. And, you know, I think the challenge for them, as we said, is you know, starting the season with so many games on the road, you can't afford to dig yourself a hole. So.
Well, that's the only thing that happens with TFC every season is they have their first 7 or 8 games on the road.
Yeah.
And even if you go 4-4, you're still at a little bit of a disadvantage, right? Because even if some teams are playing their first 6 games at home and they go 6-0, you're already behind the 8-ball a little bit. But, I mean, the crowd at TFC... The pride that some of the players are starting to take in defending the home ground that we saw last year.
Right.
I think it's going to be difficult for teams to come in here and get.
I think so too. You put Clinton Irwin in net now.
Yeah.
You know, a legit.
I mean, you've upgraded
everywhere.
All the positions that were weak last season.
That's right. Anyone they've brought in, They're a legitimate MLS
right
caliber, I would say top players.
They don't have to get used to the league. They already know it.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
They know, okay, this guy does this. I know how to defend him.
That's such a good point. Like, you know, sometimes bringing in, just because they come from a foreign place,
right,
Kantari, doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, like, and again, we talk about this all the time with young players, is taking things for granted, you know, being humble in your approach, mm-hmm. not just please and thank you, but, you know, being humble in your approach, meaning, okay, accepting these challenges, saying this, you know, giving respect to the league. And I think these guys, not we think, you know, with Bedejor, Drew Moore, and these guys, they absolutely respect it. They're part of it.
Right.
They've, you know, cut their teeth here. So, I mean, last year we were excited to see the scoring punch that we added with Jovinko, that great thing that, you know, we added this European player here.
Right.
But I'm very excited to see this team, you know, grow and solidify their back line and, you know, their defensive, you know, approach. Generally, not just, you know, their defenders. So I'm looking forward to it.
What do you think Vanny does with this squad?
Changes or?
Well, I mean, we hope we're going back to the playoffs again, right?
I would say if they don't, it's a lost season, wouldn't you, Reg?
Yeah, well, it has to be. It has to be this season.
For sure.
We were crying to get Bendik out and Konopka.
That's right.
We were crying to get defenders in. We got the defenders in. We got the goalie in. So, anything less than the playoffs, anything less than second round, I think.
Yeah, I think you got to get beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, that one game off that they had with Montreal. That they need to, you know, firmly solidify a playoff position.
Let's get a home field
game. Let's get home field playoff game. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Win enough games to let's get that. I'm looking forward to TFC season, and I haven't said that in
ever.
Well, I said it maybe the first or second season. Because it was a good time to go down there and watch.
That's right. It was more the
atmosphere and the environment. But now to go down there and watch football, pretty excited actually this season.
Yeah, I think me too.
So hopefully that. And this is just a brief preview of TFC. We'll get in depth with it towards the beginning of the season.
Yep.
But just to let you know that they're working hard and hopefully it all comes to fruition later on in the season. I think Altidore lost a ton of weight too.
Oh, there's the guy I forgot about too. Yeah, obviously he's going to be a major part of it. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And he's scoring goals for the U.S. national team. He had scored two winning goals. He
scored against Canada, didn't
That's
he?
That's right, yeah. Left it late, but he did the job, right? So he's looking good. So we already know his quality. And so on, we said last year, not having the best of years, he still ends up with 13, 14 goals. So,
exactly.
You know, Altidore has proven his quality. So, yeah, absolutely. Coming in better shape should serve well for TFC and, of course, fans.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. So we're going to move on to the what a hit. Like I said, it's in Malaysian. There's two words in the clip. So we're not going to play the audio. Go to the website, footballweekly.com. It's crazy. Let me just
tell you, it's pretty much crazy.
I've never seen a ball. Anyways, I'm not even going to explain it to you. Just go and watch it. Go to the website and watch it. Definitely.
Yep.
So, Joe, have anything in final to say?
Are we done?
I think so. We were supposed to have an interview this week, but we don't. So we'll probably try to get that done next week, right, Joe?
We'll wrap up. We have a lot to do. We get an interview and then
the recap of Champions League. So we're done. As usual, you can get to our podcast on our website, footballweekly.com, FUTBOLweekly.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. You can also subscribe via email. We have a form that you can get involved with. If you have any comments that you want to make to us as far as we're way off base on this, you're spot on that. You can start your own topics with other members of our forum as well. Visit the forums, footballweekly.com/forum. As usual, we'd like to thank you for listening to our podcast. We do this weekly, and we'll catch you next week.